Dear congregation, many of the Lord's children here this morning wish for more time alone with the Lord, or wish that their time with Him was more lively, more vibrant, more meaningful. From our side, people of God, we find ourselves so sluggish, don't we? Often, distracted, cold. Even in holy things, even in prayers and reading of His Word. When we're honest, we have to admit that often the Lord is our last resort in trouble when He should be our first. We often try to solve our problems ourselves and run to the Lord only when it's clear that we're in over our heads. And what an amazing thing it is that despite all our weakness and sinfulness, the Lord calls His people to Himself, desires to commune with them. As the Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, enter into your closet, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father which seeth in secret. That is the Lord's call to commune with Him. You see, the Lord, holy as He is, yet desirous to have His people see Him and seek Him, He calls for our heart, our attention, our focus, and to set aside the many things that distract us, our many cares, our concerns. And the Lord has ways in which He draws His people back to Himself, to focus on Him alone, to seek communion with Him alone. And often God's way of doing that is very much against flesh and blood and against what we desire and sometimes even imagine. And the way the Lord did that in the life of David is before us in the psalm which we read just a few moments ago. And we wish to draw lessons from that psalm. About the Lord's leadings and guidings in the life of His people. And so I take as my text really the whole psalm, but allow me to read at this time the last few words of Psalm 55, 23b. Psalm 55, 23b, these words, "But I will trust in Thee." Thus far our text. The Lord leads His people to trust in pain is our theme with the Lord's help. We'll see, first of all, restless, verses 1 through 8. Friendless, verses 9 through 17. Yet not Christless, 18 through 23. The Lord leads His people to trust in pain. Restless, 1 through 8. Friendless, 9 through 17. Not Christless, 18 through 23. Well, congregation, David was profoundly restless in this psalm. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, he says, for then I would fly far away and be at rest. He is not at rest, but he seeks for rest. And you can sense the commotion in his soul. Just look at the opening verses. He is supplicating God, verse 1. He's mourning and lamenting, verse 2. He's complaining and making a noise, verse 2. There was clearly great grief and commotion inside of David. He was looking for calm, but couldn't find it anywhere. He needed a safe place, a place of quiet, of peace, and security. And instead, he finds himself surrounded by enemies and danger, even hatred. And oppression. Look at verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." Now, ultimately, David could not blame his enemies for how he was feeling. His own sin was involved. Most commentators believe that this psalm was penned around the time of David's son's Absalom's rebellion. You remember, children, how David had fallen into great sin by taking the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, and even killing or having Uriah killed. And indeed, the Lord had brought David to repentance from that terrible sin, but he would still face the consequences of his sin. The sword would not depart from his house. There would always be fighting in David's family, brother against brother, and in this case, Absalom's son against father. Even though he had spent many of his early years with Saul pursuing him, and that was one thing, to have the king of Israel, Saul, pursuing him. He had to flee like a partridge on the mountains. But now his enemy was from his own household, his own flesh and blood, his very son, Absalom. No wonder that David was not feeling peace and calm. My friend, I ask you today whether you have found that sin robs us of peace. Have you already discovered that sin, our own sin, the sin of Adam, we all partake in, has put a distance not only between brother and brother, even within families, among the human race, but it's put distance between us and the Lord. You see, at the bottom of the restlessness in the human spirit, which finds expression all over our world, there is this, that we have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out for ourselves cisterns that can hold no water. It is no wonder that man is profoundly restless. There is no rest. There is, the Bible says, no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. And even the people of God who know at a fundamental level peace with God through Jesus Christ, having been justified, the apostle says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet believers too can have seasons of great restlessness, times of trouble and conflict around them, but also within them. Notice what David says in verse 4. My heart, David says, a true believer, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. He feels like he's going to die, and there is great fearfulness and trembling that has taken hold of him. Even horror, he says in verse 4 and 5, horror has overwhelmed him. He feels like someone who's in the midst of a windy storm or tempest. Imagine a hurricane and being all alone in the midst of this storm beating upon you. And it's merciless. That's what he feels like. He's exposed. No wonder David says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly far away and be at rest. Even human counselors, psychologists, speak about the flight response. We want to be far away from our current circumstances, just flee from them and find some rest that seems to be out of reach just now. But David, there is a place of quiet rest, but not in the wilderness. It is near to the heart of God. weary, one among us today. You can't find rest. And you won't find it in a wilderness, on some lonely mountaintop somewhere. Sometimes you wish for that. Perhaps as a parent, get me out of here. Is there a place where I can collect my thoughts and just have a day to think? Well, my dear friend, there's no place in all the world where you can find that peace and rest, save one place. Many people love that psalter we just sang, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly far away and be at rest." But you know how the psalm, the next verse, David speaks to himself and he says, "Nay, soul, call on God all the day." It's not sufficient simply to wish for a quiet place, especially here in this world. "Nay, soul, call on God all the day." There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. It's a place of repose. It's a place of refuge. And you don't need to go anywhere for that. Even in the midst of the tempest and the storm, David finds that place. Though none of his circumstances change whatsoever, he finds that place of quiet rest. As you can see from the last words of the psalm, "But I will trust." Trust, true trust, can bring that rest and that peace in the midst of even the greatest storms. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Well, congregation, that is verses 1 through 8. God leads his people to trust.